Are you willing to accept Christ's invitation to know Him more intimately, love Him more intensely, and follow Him more closely, and then go out into the world and live His good news? If you say yes, then you could be the 13th apostle. Join Dan Duddy and Tom Caffrey, the odd couple of Catholic radio, as they ride the radio waves two by two to share the goodness, beauty, and truth of Jesus Christ and His church. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the 13th apostle.
Christ has no body. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which He looks compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which He walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which He blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are His body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which He looks compassion on this world. Christ has nobody now on earth but yours. The great Saint Teresa of Avila. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the 13th Apostle, where we explore the good, beautiful, and true of the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church. This is Tom Caffrey with my partner, Dan Duddy. How are you, Danny?
Hey, Tommy, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Quite well.
That's beautiful. We have with us your former footballer, my son, Kevin Caffrey. Welcome back, Kevin.
Yeah.
How long ago?
Thank you. It's good to be back.
By the way, never former. You're never former.
I knew you were going to say
that. Right, Kevin?
Being a footballer is like being a Christian. Once you're baptized into the communion, you're there forever.
Oh, there we go.
I'm sure you got baptized by Coach Duddy in the locker room and on the field.
With the spit flying out of my mouth.
I did hear legendary stories. I know they were abbreviated stories, but I got the gist. How many clipboards did you go through? Because those are, what do they call the cinder block walls?
Yeah. I wasn't a clipboard guy. That's for that coach on the 4:30 movie. There's no such thing as a 4:30 movie anymore. You know, crew cut, clipboard, whistle, right, Kevin? We didn't roll like that.
That's right.
How many heads went into the wall then?
Never
mind.
Kevin, I'm glad you haven't told him these things.
No, he said abbreviated. I think he meant to say edited.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a better word. Oh, my gosh. So what brings Kevin back is if some of our audience remembers. And by the way, for those who are joining us new, Dan was Kevin's head football coach throughout high school. So thus the references before. But at the end of the previous episode with Kevin, and we were talking about his Camino, the Camino de Fe, the path of faith. Right, Kevin? Path of faith? The way
That's
of faith?
Right. Or the way of faith.
Okay. And this one is in Brazil, as opposed to the one a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, which was through Spain. And you made a comment about having a better time. I'm going to say easier. Maybe it is easier, or maybe it's easier. Maybe it's better to say a less difficult time or less challenging time praying with like these pilgrimages, you know, with your whole body into it and a rhythm, whatever rhythm you get going. And as opposed to sitting down, sitting still and thinking your prayers or speaking your prayers. So that led us to, it was right at the end, and like with many of our episodes, something brilliant gets said at the end, usually by Dan, then we have to pick it up on the next episode. So that's, but Dan, I know you got enthusiastic as we wrapping up that last episode, because you're very physical. I think that's the way you best express yourself as well in this spiritual life. I mean, I'm not going to speak for you. So the two of you, Kevin, let's rewind that a little bit where what you had said. What is it about the pilgrimages and compared with you sitting down and thinking your prayers?
As someone who grew up doing a lot of sports and someone who's been physically active my whole life and also the modern distractions in technology, I find it much easier to be active than I do being contemplative. And so because of that, if I want to live out my faith, I find it easier in some respects to do it physically with my body in the form of pilgrimage, in the form of volunteering, let's say, than I would find it with a structured prayer regimen. So that's the point I made at the end of the last podcast, is that as the body and the soul are a composite, we are not meant to, I don't think, merely use our minds exclusively, but also to use our bodies. And so the pilgrimage is one way of being active spiritually by using that part of the composite that many people, I think, sometimes overlook when they're talking about the spiritual life, which seems to focus more on meditation and contemplation. So I wanted to emphasize this physical type of prayer, a prayer with the body, prayer being seeking God, loving God, glorifying God. And you can obviously do that with your mind, with your intellect. That's what keeps us, we are created in that way above animals because of our intellect and our ability to reason. But we also have bodies too, and we need to use them in a way that glorifies God. Pilgrimage is one way of doing that. But if there are other ways of acting in the world besides pilgrimage, of course, that have a similar end.
Beautiful. Back up for a second. I have to tell you that when Kevin gets on the radio, as he is now with me, of course it brings me right back to those football days, and it's extremely inspiring for me. And to have Kevin talk about the physicality of the Camino brought me right on the football field. And I remember how spiritual games became because of how comprehensive we became, Kevin, with our prayers and studying the tough physical saints like Saint Ignatius. We always said the prayer of Saint Ignatius all the way back then in what, 2004 was that, Kevin? Yeah, so I am of the firm belief that when we really stretch out the physical comfort zones, we really tap into our very creation. But that could be in a very sinful way, in a very prideful, egotistical way, or as Kevin just said, in a way of seeking God through creation by our physicality, by really storming the gates of our comfort zone, getting back up on our feet, loving our very own creation because we have this will that becomes more and more inspired with a momentum, exponential momentum. Each time we do get up to the point where we glorify God by getting knocked down again, we want to really get into this skirmish to get knocked back down again, because essentially what we're feeling is the greatest prayer of all, and that's the passion of the Christ, the crucifixion. And his words all were founded upon an immense amount of pain and suffering and exertion, and the words came from that. So there's this interaction of wills on the football field, and our Lord Jesus Christ gives us in the passion. It's not only the interaction of wills between our Lord, the Son of Man, and God himself, God the Father, but the interaction of the physical and the spiritual wills. The physical will is launched by the spiritual will, or spirituality tells us, get back up, do it for Kevin, do it for your teammates, do it for each other. But there's also spiritual growth that comes from the physicality of getting back on our feet, that love for a creation, you know, the feeling of it, the true witnessing of this wonderful creation. Now, Tom, Dad, Kevin, you opened up the show today with Saint Teresa of Avila, and it's all about that we have to take ownership of the physicality of moving this body of Christ for Christ with Christ. What an amazing way to open up today's show. Matthew Kelly always said, you know, he professed his organizing principle was to motivate people to become the best versions of themselves. Today, I heard my good friend from Rome say, the heck with that. We are here to become the best version of Christ that we can be. And it's so tied in with the way you opened up that show, today's show. Yes.
That was a great point about bringing in the passion and the crucifixion. You know, it's easy. Certainly, I'm not never disparage any of the contemplatives. We, you know, we need them just like we need those who are more intellectual, and we need those who are going to plumb the toilets and, you know, build bridges and whatnot. But, you know, Kevin said in terms of analogizing football, and Dan, you were saying, you know, being it's almost like I'm picturing the Camino as part of that 100 yards. There's obstacles and there's suffering. Of course, the real challenge, and you bring it again when you brought it to the passion and the crucifixion, we're supposed to die to ourselves, you know, and we're supposed to give up ourselves. That's not just an intellectual exercise. And so the greatest corporal work of mercy, obviously, was the crucifixion. And Saint Teresa's prayer is a great combination of the spiritual and corporal work of mercy. Yeah, it's a prayer, but But it's saying, okay, it's going to be more than thinking. It's going to be more than talking. And so, Kevin, I'm thinking back the story you related to us. Well, actually, most of what you said. For example, the man who drove by in his truck and in her car, truck, whatever, and he held out an orange. That's pretty physical. Being chased by a pack of dogs, that's pretty physical. And that's the threat to the physical. You know, we have friends who've faced serious combat, who've been involved in it. And I, on one hand, I've heard them say they've never felt more alive. They didn't say necessarily whether that was a good or bad thing. They just said they never felt more alive. And I think, perhaps, Kevin, the various parts of your Camino, your Caminos, when it was difficult, I don't know whether you felt you probably had more adrenaline going at the time the dogs were chasing you than you had at other times, or maybe any other time, the threat to your body, and your life to keep going. So.
Well, I would say definitely. I don't know if the heightened physiological response, I don't know what that would indicate spiritually. But I think it's very interesting to say that, okay, well, we feel alive at certain occasions when we're in very difficult situations, whether you get hit really hard in the football field or you're in a combat zone taking fire from an enemy. Yes, you feel very alive there. And I wonder if that is, I'm reluctant to say it's just physiological. There must be some sort of spiritual component to that as well. And maybe that's the experiencing in a more physical way, the passion and the connection between the body and the soul composite is more acutely obvious in those moments of your mortality. When you become aware of your mortality, that composite becomes more aware, which highlights the importance of living in a way that combines those two things when we're on our own spiritual paths. But I think when I'm thinking about the physical prayer and the contemplative, I think one is ordered towards the other because, as I said before, the intellect is what distinguishes us from the animals. Therefore, the contemplative would seem to be the higher ordered way of being as created in the image of God, because that contemplation connects us to God in a more intimate way, in a way that reveals our true nature as rational beings in the image of God, the source of rationality itself. But I would say, and some of what I saw in my research preparing for this program was that the active life prepares us for that, and it is also a recognition of our temporal reality. So where we are now currently, whereas the contemplative is more of a reflection of the eternal that reflects both our temporality, but also what goes beyond our temporality, the eternal, our life after this, and also the eternality of God himself. But I think it's extremely important because of this life that we have. Because this life is a journey and it's a fixed journey and it is a limited journey, that we do that in a way, we live it out in a way physically that reflects this physical reality and that carries us through time in a way that prepares us for our eternal reality.
Good.
Immortality. And Dan, we had a retreat that was kind of built on this memento mori, tempus fugit, memento mori, time flies. Remember, man, that you will die. Just, obviously, we don't, none of this is about being morbid. It's about, again, Dan, as you said many times, being where your feet are. And it's in the here and now. And what can we do? And this is, it's very interesting because in that context, I'm going to talk very briefly about my sister, Carolyn. She's went into the hospital 2 weeks ago for surgery, but it was supposed to be at most an overnight. And she's still in the hospital in intensive care on a ventilator. Now she had her fourth surgery today. We can't say that she's aware of her mortality. We don't know what's going on inside. She's on that twilight medication. But all of us who love her and who have been with her, or certainly been with her, either body or spirit, been with her, we start to have this sense, somebody, and then all of a sudden they're on that razor's edge where things can go the wrong way. And so we become aware of our mortality. Okay, well, now I'm going to make the most of my time that's left. But one of the great moving things about these tough times, these difficult, very difficult times, is when you have people like Dan, like our Deacon Chuck Kelly, like our dear friend Jim Mulvihill. We've got the parish of St. Mary's in Barnegat and Manahawkin in New Jersey, and on, people who are praying for Carolyn. They may be sitting still, they may be on their knees or standing, or maybe they're doing things and they've thought about Carolyn, so they're going to say their prayer with her, or they're going to offer up whatever it is they're doing physically, they're going to offer it up for that. And that is a beautiful thing in the midst of a very, very difficult thing experience. First of all, it's my way of thanking you, Dan, for all your prayers and your wife, Maura. And I'm thanking everybody who's listened to this, who's helped with that. So there we are. I mean, physical. Kevin, maybe he's got some strength and he's walking a 1,000-mile Camino. Carolyn's bedridden and she's on a Camino, so to speak, but it's a very different one. We all have the opportunity to go on Caminos of different types, as long as, and this is what gets to the part of Christ's message on the Sermon on the Mount. What is your interiority? What's in your heart? Your heart is going to lead you. Go, Dan.
Thank you, Tom. And prayers continue, of course, for Kevin's aunt and, of course, your sister, Carolyn. There's a physical prayer in all of what you just said that's right under our nose. That's the sheer nature of the fact that we are here for you. We are physically ready to go, get a bounce in our step, and go wherever you need us through our friendship, which is founded upon divinity. It's a divine friendship as we walk two by two. So that is a walking, living prayer that Kevin alluded to before when he was talking about temporality. And I'd like to bring masculinity into this as well. That's like super fundamental, right under your nose, physicality. It's a walking prayer. How is that so obvious to me? Because we are fanning the fires of the body of Christ as men who Saint Teresa just called us out by way of your what you gave us to open up the show. But I do believe that men are much more ready to go into physicality, physical prayer than contemplative prayers or contemplative prayers than perhaps women are. We as men will take our shirt off and chop wood, but we won't show our inner souls to the people around us. So I think when we take physicality and we become super intended about physicality in the spirit of sacrifice, then it becomes a prayer on steroids. In other words, if we're chopping wood and we're giving all that physicality up in the name of God, Christ, and his pain and suffering on the cross, that's a prayer on steroids. That's us shaking hands with Christ right there. And even moreover, if we're doing something super physical, maybe, laying sod for your neighbor, all in the name of Christ, prayer on steroids. So I think intentionality, I think it's more apt to come from our masculine side of things than not.
Well, Kevin, if we think about St. Paul, his exhortation to us, pray without ceasing. Perhaps that's not that you thought of that passage, but you've got to go 1,000 miles. Presumably, you hope nothing's going to go wrong. We have to cut your journey short. Okay, so you're going to go 1,000 miles.
The 1,000 miles is for something. So the 1,000 miles is a way of both purification, but also a way of strengthening for what? To be able to reach that point of contemplation. And I think that the contemplatives, they are blessed in a special way because they're able to do that. But I think someone like me, I need to purge or purify myself in a way first to reach that point where I can pray without ceasing. And I think this hierarchy is reflected in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 40, where it says, "But Martha was distracted by her many tasks." She's with Mary and Christ. And so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." And what Mary was doing was listening to the Lord. She was contemplating the words of the Lord. And I think that reveals a hierarchy. But people are at different stages of their lives, and that the physical prayer is a way to prepare yourself for the contemplative. So when I do the 1,000-mile journey, yes, that in itself is a form of prayer. It is a form of honoring. When I'm on the football field fighting for an extra yard, getting beat up, and I'm trying to get the win or the touchdown or the tackle, it is not exactly for that win. That's not the number of my record that's what's important to me. It is the fight of me purify myself to a more, let's say, sculpted or perfected version of myself. And that is what will enable to me to reach higher levels of life, of the spiritual life, and ultimately contemplation of the eternal, of God. So it's all part of this purification process. That's what the pilgrimage is about. That's what the physical prayer is about. But all of that, while it is a recognition of the composite of the body and the soul that is part of the temporal life that we're in now, that is all in preparation for the eternal.
I think what you just said was outstanding, Kevin. I think that in the physicality, we'll go back to football. Our listeners can put it wherever it relates to them. But it's so experiential when we're so physical and really getting after it to the point where we're physically drained. It's in that experience, I think, that when we do go to restoration, that we become much more deeply wise in our contemplation. And then when we go back to that intended physicality that I talked about before, it's that contemplation that has now grown and run much more deeper that we then take with us, as we like to say, to put it into our game face. We are a better competitor because of the contemplation, but the contemplation was launched from all that strain, right? That really took us down to a deeper self-knowledge of who we are. So the contemplation went much more deeper and richer. So now we have our game face. Now we also have at the end of that a much more deeper restoration. You know, we are restoring and learning and a whole lot more about ourselves and of course creation, the whole reason why we do what we do. Good point, Kevin.
My sister, the reason she's in the hospital, the reason she had to go to the hospital was, I'll just put it this way, and everybody can use their imagination, because she had children. Okay, enough said. Now, I was just thinking back to your comment. I don't know whether I wanted to make sure our audience understood your comment, that when you were saying it's more likely for men with their masculinity, that they would there'd be a, I don't know whether you were saying a greater strength in men. I think you were holding it to the physical and the strength. And does Maura listen to, she doesn't listen to these episodes, does she? You think a woman who had eight children? That, I'm sorry.
Oh, come on now.
Are
All
you
right,
gonna?
I see where you're going. Yeah. All right, Tom. I got you. No, she doesn't listen. And you know what? She's different. She is actually an extremely hardworking physical woman in the yard, and
Indeed.
she's amazing. She really is amazing.
I
But
remember
generally,
helping you guys put the sailboat into the bay.
yeah.
I do remember what happened.
You gotta tell the audience.
I just remember how the boat was drifting a little bit. It left its lane, let's put it that way.
Oh,
You didn't have to claim insurance, did you?
yeah. No, you're oh my gosh, yes. Oh man. No, we got away with that one. Yeah, we literally weathered the storm. Yeah.
Oh gosh. So, one of the great things about the physical experience is that really, I don't know if there's anything better to teach us the native expression, the Indian tribe expression of, you can't judge a man or a woman, who's until you walk a mile in the moccasins, until you've experienced it. So remember, there's knowing about. So I know about the Camino.
Right.
Kevin knows the Camino. I haven't experienced it. That takes us to Saint Ignatius of Loyola, a very physical, in terms of combat veteran, lost a leg in combat. That was the basis of his conversion, and he gave us, as part of his spiritual exercise, the imaginative prayer, which I've done many times, and kind of like Saint Teresa's prayer, you immerse yourself. You have to use your imagination. It's a lot of discipline to say, okay, I can hear the sound of mules, or I hear the sound of people talking in the marketplace. I can hear the sound of the wheels of a cart on the sand and the stone path where the cart is going through the village. I can smell the smells of figs and whatnot. If we're going back to a biblical time, that takes a lot of work. On the other hand, it's a lot safer than walking the Camino, than going out into the world. It's a lot safer to be in the stands than playing the game, right? So I think that we do have options, as Kevin said, and we know this. We're not just spirits. We're not Gnostics. That Gnosticis, the Gnostic, that heresy where we hate the body, And we just believe that we're spirit, and we have this special knowledge that nobody else can have if you're not part of our group. That was a big heresy in the early, very early church. So we're body and spirit.
Well, it's perfectly reflected in the Benedictine Creed, Ora et Labora, prayer and work. You have the contemplative, Ora Labora, work. You're using your body to work.
Exactly.
Great point.
That's it in a nutshell.
That's
Ora
it.
Labora. So, Kevin, we got about a minute left. I know you're working on it. You don't have to divulge anything. Maybe you could give a little hint for a future episode. I know you're working on another Camino somewhere down the road.
Well, hopefully next year I'll be able to do what's called the Via Francigena. It is a pilgrimage from Canterbury, England, to Rome, Italy. And that one's a bit longer. It's, let's see, 2,500 kilometers. So I think it's about maybe 1,900 miles or something like that.
Okay, we'll need
But.
about 5 episodes. Cover 1,900 miles. And real quickly, with this, and Kevin knows this, there's I read this book from Pilgrimage to Eternity by Timothy Egan, and it's his experience doing that exact pilgrimage. He had lost or given up his faith, and he was taking that journey to get back. Danny, last words.
I'll do that pilgrimage by car. Just, if you ever saw my car, it would be a sacrifice, Kevin. No, I think it's beautiful. Thank you so much, Kevin. Some real good stuff here. It's great to have you on the show. I hope to have you back, pretty soon again, huh?
Hope to be back. Thank
Yeah,
you.
thank you. Yeah,
Thank
and
you, Kevin.
we'll ask the audience to pray for your Aunt Carolyn
Thank you.
and let's
Please do.
Amen. Amen. Good to see you, Kev, as
All right,
always.
good to see you, Coach. Dad, thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Danny, what's coming up next?
All right, folks, stay tuned for the Angelus and your prayer intentions with Peter and Jemmy.
WQPHradio.org. Thanks as always, Marianne, Jean, James, Tom, and it's a great opportunity to have these conversations. God bless you, Kevin. God bless you, Danny.
God bless you, Tommy. God bless you all. God bless you,
God
Kevin.
bless.
Thank you for listening to The 13th Apostle with Dan Duddy and Tom Caffrey. For more information on Dan, visit his website at www.danduddy.com or email dcduddy@gmail.com. Tom's website is faithpilgrims.com or email trcaffrey@faithpilgrims.com. How about you? Will you be the 13th Apostle?